Absolutely. And I guess we may become a bit of a broken record here because we always refer back to this, but I'm certainly experiencing it now with my Czech studies. And I mean, very quickly you can move on to authentic material. You don't have to stay with beginner material. The vast majority of people stay with beginner material and never make any progress. Mm-hmm. If they would just take the plunge, just to go at something a little more difficult. But anyway, we're beating a dead horse there. One other thing that we were talking about, which I think is also interesting, is obviously learning about the culture and exposing yourself to the culture is all part of learning the language. And when we learn a new language, of course, it's a new adventure. And when you have your first opportunity to visit the country, it's like a dream. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like an absolute dream because you've been sort of kept away from the real world. Mm-hmm. You've been doing your language learning in some artificial world, and now all of a sudden it's like you're in the movie. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in the movie. So it's very, very exciting. And so you were saying, like, how did I react to, say, going to Russia, which was the new movie for me, mm-hmm. versus, let's say, going back to China or Japan, where it's an old movie, mm-hmm. and which is more exciting and so forth. And obviously it's more exciting to go to the new movie, but it's also very pleasant to go back to a place where you, in a previous, you know, spurt mm-hmm. of language learning activity, you went after that language. And so you lived in the country or you visited many times. I lived in Japan. I visited China many times. And now you go back after 10, 20, 30 years. It's a nice, comfortable feeling. So mm-hmm. it's different. One is a feeling of almost, you know, going back to a place for which you have had this feeling of nostalgia and then being able to get back to that routine mm-hmm. and see the changes. And the other is discover something new. Both are, I would say, sort of part of the reward mm-hmm. of language learning. Both.
Right, you know, right.
Both have their, you know, both are very enjoyable experiences, I would say.
And I guess that then is a testament to the value of learning multiple languages, experiences multiple times.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it is, you know, it's amazing to me on Link, once we opened up The Linguist to many languages, mm-hmm. the number of people who study more than one language.
Mm-hmm.
The number of people. And yet, you know, last night we had some friends over, and actually it's my cousin who's visiting from Argentina, and her former roommate when she lived here in Vancouver before mm-hmm. she got married. And this lady's probably in her early 50s, and she is saying, oh, yeah, I really want to learn French and Spanish, but, I always forget things. I can't remember anything, and I'm too old, and then this, that, and the other. And so many people at some level say, I would like to learn a language. I mean, she's even saying, I would like to learn French and Spanish mm-hmm. because she would like to travel in France and Spain. Mm-hmm. In fact, she's single, and she would even like to, she says, live half the year in southern France and go to Spain and rent my apartment out and to my nieces when they go to UBC. She had all the stuff she wanted to do. And key to it all was to learn the languages. Mm-hmm. Because obviously if you're living in southern Spain or France and traveling, it's so much nicer mm-hmm. if you speak the language. It's so much nicer. Why don't you do it? Well, people are afraid. Yeah. Or they think they have to take a course and stuff like that. So I don't know. I just think it's so attractive to learn languages. It's so enjoyable. It's so rewarding at every level.
Mm-hmm.
And the very small number of people who do it and who stay with it and who achieve success with it is it's very disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
Very disappointing.
Yeah, and I think it too goes to back to the thing of the automatic assumption that if you've learned 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever a dozen languages that you're a genius.
You know, absolutely.
Or intellectually gifted. And a lot of people, I mean, I don't consider myself stupid, but when people, you know, say, oh, you learned Korean, you're just really smart. I'm like, well, I don't think that really has that much to do with it because, like, they learn their own language. I mean, everyone has the capability to do it.
Well, not only that. Have they put in the effort
mm-hmm.
to learning any language that you put into learning to learning Korean?
Yeah.
The issue is the effort.
Yeah.
I don't know many people who put as much effort into language learning as I put into language mm-hmm. learning. But to me, the ultimate argument when you hear this, you're just talented, I say, okay. Do you think that Swedes, to pick an example, you mm-hmm. could pick Singaporeans, Yeah. You know, any of those countries where everybody speaks 2, 3, 4 languages mm-hmm. and speaks them well, mm-hmm. you know, are those people all genetically, you know, have they been pre-selected on some, you know, based on some whatever to be gifted in languages? I bet you that the Swedes were terrible at languages 150 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think it's a matter of, it's just normal.
Right.
You're considered not particularly smart if you can't at least speak English well mm-hmm. in Sweden. I mean, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that, oh, you're very talented, you speak a foreign language. What's the matter with you? You didn't go to school? And of course, they don't learn at school. They learn watching TV.
Right.
So, I mean, when you have whole nations that are good at languages
mm-hmm.
and other nations that are poor at languages, to me, that indicates that it's not a matter of a particular gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of a whole attitude of mind.
Yeah.
You know. So, and in that regard, I was sent a book by one of my viewers at my YouTube channel, which is this a book written by Kato Lomb. Have you ever heard of Kato Lomb?
Yes, I
L-O-M-B.
Have, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she was this Hungarian lady who learned to speak 16 languages, and she wrote a book on it, and it's quite a well-known book amongst the language-learning culties, right?
Yes.
So I read the book, and it's very interesting. Obviously, I don't agree with everything that she says, but there are many things where I do, and of course, her big thing was input. Like, she would read, and it is so true. Like, input is so, so powerful. And she dismisses this business of talent. She doesn't believe in the talent. It's quite an interesting book. It's a different era,
right?
You know, before the internet, before a lot of the stuff that we take for granted. She read books and dictionaries and whatever she could get her hands on. But the big thing with her, if you read the book, is her tremendous dedication.
Mm-hmm.
Her tremendous dedication. She was so excited she was going to learn Russian, and she managed to find a book because there were none, whatever.
Right.
So, yeah. And she just devoured the book.
Mm-hmm.
So it all boils down to motivation and commitment.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
And in her case, I'm sure that when she went after her 14th or 15th language, she was a lot better than the guy who only speaks one language.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she's done it 14 times.
Yep.
Well, you know, what's so surprising about that? You know, if someone is a good athlete and they pick up another sport, if they're fit, they're going to do better in that sport than someone who has never played any sports.
Exactly.
So the issue is not a matter of a genetic predisposition or in innate talent. It's a matter of cultivating, first of all, of having that dedication and commitment, and then cultivating the skill of learning languages. And I'm quite convinced that anybody can do it, and they can start at any age.
There's almost a parallel to instruments, musical instruments, where if you see someone who plays 5 instruments, you think, oh, they're just amazing at, you know, playing these instruments, when in actuality they've spent thousands of hours practicing, you know,
absolutely
all hours throughout the day, right?
Absolutely. And if someone plays one instrument and you hear that they play another instrument, you're not surprised. It's kind of, that makes sense. He plays the violin. She plays the violin, she also plays the guitar, and she plays the piano, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, why should it be different for languages?
Exactly.
Once you've got the hang of music and playing music, and so you pick up another instrument. It's not surprising. So whether you speak 2 languages, 5 languages, 10 languages, to me it's the same.
Yeah.
It's just that I have put in that much effort into learning these other languages. Other people, for whatever reasons, didn't have the time to do it. But the fact of speaking 10 versus 2 versus 5, to me, it's got nothing to do with it. It's just that that's where I've chosen to spend my time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a musician. If the musician doesn't spend any time learning to play the trumpet, he won't know how to play the trumpet. But if he takes it upon himself to learn to play the trumpet, he'll be able to learn it.
Yeah.
So anyway, so motivation, though, still comes down to being the, you know, the fundamental. The fundamental attribute. And I really wish more people would. I just think it would make for a better world. I think it's fun. Anytime I hear someone who speaks another language, I'm very impressed. I don't know what it is. That's stupid.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be so impressed. But I'm very impressed.
Yeah.
Very impressed. Like, wow, that's neat. You know? So that's my thing. Other people are good at sports. And the other thing I wanted to mention about music, too, my wife, I may have mentioned this before, but she's been playing piano now for 3-4 years. No teacher. She didn't want a teacher. And she just gets better and better because she really enjoys it.
Right.
And my granddaughter was taking piano lessons and didn't like, the teacher didn't like taking lessons, wanted to quit, arguing with her mother, blah, blah, blah. So she quit. And then she was watching her grandma play, and she kind of got interested, and her grandma gave her some notes and stuff and some music that she liked to play, and she started playing, and now she plays 2-3 hours a day on her own.
Really?
And she's doing so well.
Yeah.
And I think if a teacher were introduced, it would only destroy it. Mm-hmm. Like, until she gets to a certain point. I think once you reach a certain point, if she really wants to get ahead, she'll need a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But not at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, I think, and in languages too, I think they introduce the teacher too early. Mm-hmm. You don't need a teacher at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Later on, you need a teacher.
Yeah.
At the beginning, you know, you need to explore the language on your own, do the things you want to do, read, don't understand, doesn't matter. Get it wrong, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
great.
Perhaps we've beaten a bit of a dead horse here on that subject, but we always love talking about it.
Exactly.
We'd love to hear some feedback. We want you to disagree, agree, tell us what you want us to talk about. Let's hear from you.
Looking forward to your comments. Thanks for listening.
Bye for now.